The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Off the ball. Rugby.
Then all we'll never know until we play. We know on the evidence of play well for your province, play well in Europe, play well in the URC, consistently back it up for a couple, four, five, six matches. And then people go, give them a go.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Yellow iPod. On Off the Ball, catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Yes, you are welcome to the LOI pod on Off the Ball. I'm Stephen Doyle, and here's what happened last Friday on Off the Ball.
Righty, Shell's in here again.
Cross from the end line over the corner, flag comes in, it's play back in again. Harry Wood now, he's trying to work it in. Onibeko with the acrobatic bicycle kick, and it's put into the back of the net. John Martin comes in on the loose ball, he hits him with his left boot, and he's put it past Stephen McMullen from close range. He was only about 7 yards out, just off to the left of McMullen's goal, slots that in with his left foot, and Shelburne have taken the lead here at the RSC against the home team Waterford in the 13th minute. Here's the free kick with Dean, and it's into the back of the net. It's an equaliser for Waterford. Tabby Lonigan, he goes over to celebrate with the Waterford fans over the far side of the pitch. Really poor defending in the box, it must be said, by Shelburne. And Lonigan rose up to just flick that one on with the top of his head into the roof of the net. And an equaliser has been put into the goal after 56 minutes here at the RSC. It's Waterford 1, Shelburne 1. And the Waterford supporters absolutely elated with that one.
Yeah, great atmosphere at the RSC, where myself and Vinnie Perth were sent at the last minute due to that waterlogged pitch at Tallaght Stadium. We were watching Shelburne against Waterford. How are you, Vinnie?
Yeah, I'm really good, Stabo. How are you?
All good, all good. And hello, Gareth McLean. You were up at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. What was that like?
It was decent, yeah. A bit of excitement as well. Last minute goals. Plenty of people. Sold out stadium. Good night.
Yeah, it was Derry City coming from behind to beat Sligo Rovers by 2-1. Really looking forward to getting stuck into what we have coming up this week. I should say as well, we have a couple of emailers who have contacted the podcast this week for our new Ask the Expert slot. So we'll have a look at those later on in the pod. First though, let's look at our next live and exclusive match on Off the Ball this Friday. Jonathan Higgins will be with Richie Tell to bring you all the action from Tolka Park, where Shelburne host Shamrock Rovers. Always a really, really exciting Dublin derby to look forward to. Vinnie, let's start with Shamrock Rovers. Are they at a big disadvantage this Friday night due to the fact that they didn't have a match last Friday in the league?
No, probably not. I think they probably... As much as they'd like to play, they have to remember last season dragged on so much for them because of the European adventures they had. So the extra week may have done them the world of good. They have played a couple of friendlies, obviously, and they played one during the week. So I think it's probably, in one sense, a bit of an advantage to them that they got the extra week in. But there's nothing beats competitive games. So For all of that, it's probably a 50-50 split as you fall on it. But from Robert's point of view, an extra week is probably huge for the players, for the squad, particularly being such a big game. There's much and muchness. But I'm sure Bradley wasn't overly disappointed last week for the game to be called off in the sense of another week prep for them, because I imagine it's been so curtailed because of finishing so late into December last year.
Yeah, we were chatting to Mr. Bradley and Glenn Cronin up in the press box down at the RSC. So I suppose he did get to see Shelburne in the flesh, which is probably something that he would have taken a lot from. And I know, Gareth, you were looking at the team from the friendly match on Saturday that they played against UCD. Ed McGinty in goal. It was, Lopez, Cleary, Corey O'Sullivan was there as well. Jack Byrne, Jake Mulroney, Trevor Clark, Matt Healy, Dylan Watts, John McGovern. Is that looking like a starting team, do you think, Gareth, for the match against Shelburne?
Not a bad side, is it, Stephen? Yeah. I don't know where they can improve. It's a some side. They've gone as strong. I think they've obviously treated that game, the friendly against UTCD on the Saturday, like they were probably going to do on the Friday night, only it was called off. So, I mean, that's a really strong team. Obviously, it's great to see Trevor Clark. We touched on it last week. Josh Honohan leaving. They needed someone with power and pace to step into that position. Trevor's been in and out, injured, not in the team over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, Josh has just been so good in that position. He's had it play second fiddle, but when he's motoring, he is unbelievably dynamic. So that is a strong team. I reckon you're right. I think that's, I think the only one missing is Burke. I think he would come back into that team maybe instead of Mulroney. And then they're almost at full strength. So I think it is, I think Vinny touched on it, I think it is a disadvantage that they haven't had a competitive game, especially going into such a big game, away to possibly your title rivals, along with Derry. So I don't know if they're going to be as sharp as Shells, having already got a competitive game. But Shells will be rubbing their hands together, especially knowing that there might be a little bit of rustiness in Shamrock Rovers' legs.
Yeah, they kind of struggled against Shelburne, Finney, last season as well, didn't they? And look, that's understandable. Like, Shelburne's such a high-quality team, but they only beat them once in the four matches in the league. They had two draws and one defeat. Like, you know, you would have seen a couple of those matches. Can you kind of pinpoint why Shelburne were always a tough nut for Rovers to crack?
I think Shelburne tactically have been exceptional against Rovers going back to Damien's time. Little things like, excuse me, Rovers like to play, say, somebody, I'm not going to say left wing, but narrow off the left. I remember going back maybe 12, 18 months ago, where they basically sent Sean Gannon in after that player, narrow, and they brought back, it was actually Sullivan at the time, out of a wing-back position or a sort of a right-wing position into a back five. So they've always come up with little ways of stopping Shamrock Rovers. They like to operate, whether it's Graham Bourke off the left channel, Rory Gaffney off the left channel so often. And tactically, Shells have seemed to, wouldn't say they've got the better results, but they've certainly matched Rovers in what they've done. What's going to be fascinating is that Shells, I thought last week, were excellent in terms of the positional sense. Tactically, it looks like they've done a lot of work in the off-season. Everyone knew their jobs from the get-go in that sort of 3-5-2 formation. And it'd be interesting to see, do they change that because of the challenge of Shamrock Rovers, or did he stick to the same tactics? Because in Bang and Daniel Kelly were very, very good for them. And it's going to be fascinating to see.
Yeah. Is it a box midfield versus a box midfield? What are we thinking?
Yeah, it depends on Jarvis. Sorry, Gareth. Depends on Jarvis, but he brings him into the team, and whether say Norris is available. Daniel Kelly was very good, but it's all on. He played on the left, and everything's on his right foot. And it's whether do you go with Martin and Odebeko up front, or do you drop? I have a vision of them playing one forward and sort of Harry Wood and Jarvis off that forward. Whether they do that or not, I don't know. So that'd be a box in midfield. That'd be an exceptional box, because Henry Francis and Kieran McElroy are very. That's a formidable midfield four. That's as good as anything in the league.
Yeah, I agree. That is unbelievable, especially the forward two. Not just because of how technically good they are and they can get goals, but the worry that Healy and Watts, if that's the two are going to be playing there, they will not want to be going that way or looking over the shoulder. They're so used to going forward. And if this game is anything like the game in Tala last year, it'll be an absolute cracker, because that's the first time in a long time, and I'm talking, they won five out of six leagues since Shamrock Rovers were really, really tested over a 90 minute period in at home. I thought Shelburne midfield especially were unbelievable that day, and then the wing backs as well. So it's going to be a cracker game, but I think where it could be won or lost is the two attacking players for Shelburne against the two supposedly defensive players for Rovers. Can they go the other way and keep the other two boys quiet?
You mentioned Henry Francis there, and I did want to focus maybe on two of the Shells players. Finney, like, he was a joy to watch, and a joy to watch in the way that Jack Byrne is a joy to watch when he's playing his best stuff for Shamrock Rovers. He's such a good... this fella's such an interesting career. He's 22 years of age now. He's from Croydon in England. Started out the Fulham Academy, then moved over to Arsenal. He was 5 years in the Arsenal Academy, in the Arsenal system, before kind of going senior. Now, he never made a senior appearance for Arsenal. Ends up on loan at Sligo Rovers. And by all accounts, it was Damien Duff who had kind of arranged the deal to get him to back to Ireland to play for Shelburne. And we did see hints of what he could do in those European games at Tallaght Stadium last season. But I thought he was magnificent on Friday night. He's such a good player to watch.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think he was a hell of a good sign. We've seen last year flashes of it, but coming in the summer didn't suit the rest. And them loan signings are difficult for all the teams from the UK because it's their off-season. But at times he was brilliant. European games, brilliant. What he's excellent at is manipulating the ball and his body, and almost like who does it for Aston Villa?
John McGinn,
very much like John McGinn, and that skill set he has, where he gets his Brian Kerr describes it brilliantly when he had a bit of an arse, John McGinn, but that type of getting his arse in the way. But there's more to him than that. He really good passing range.
I think his passing is amazing. Sorry, Vinny, go on.
I actually think, Steve-O, I know you were really, really impressed with him on Friday. And this is not a criticism. This is me saying, I actually think there's more levels to him. I think he can go up a few more levels with fitness, with better pitches. I think Shells, to me, look like... It'd be interesting to see what Talk is like on Friday. They look like a team that will play really well on the top of the ground, on a good pitches, firm footing, and they can pass that ball. That's what they look like to me. So, and he'll be the centre of that, absolutely the centre of that. So I think there's more to come from that player. I think he could be absolutely outstanding. Yes, he was very good on Friday, but there's another level, I think, in him, maybe two more levels.
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying. Look, as I said, you don't want to get carried away with one performance, but we saw bits of him last year as well, as I said, in Europe. He does have the potential to be us looking back at the end of the season going, this guy is the player of the season. You know, like, he definitely, if he does go up those levels. Just to what Finney says there about the pitches is interesting as well, Gareth, because it's something Derry City don't have to concern themselves with at the moment. Like, having that artificial surface is maybe a little bit of a bonus at this time of year. But Joey O'Brien even said in the build-up to the game last Friday, he did say it's going to take a while for the pitches to get to a good standard, and that it's all about trying to adapt your game at this time of year. And that's something maybe a lot of the managers, especially the ones playing at home on grass pitches, do have to think about.
Yeah, 100%. You've got to play the surface sometimes, and you've got to look at the surface and probably adapt your team towards that, and tell the players, listen, you don't want to be playing and messing about at the back or trying to play short passes in midfield, because it can take a bobble, you can get tucked out. But, and it's funny, in the Brandywell on Friday night, and even on the match on Sunday when I was watching it, that's all well and good, but there's got to be pressure on the opposition team for when that mistake happens, that the player puts his head down and there's two or three players on top of them, and it's literally in on goal or one pass or one shot, then it's a goal. So I didn't feel that the Brandywell Friday night and the match on Sunday had enough of that. Obviously, Aviva, there's not going to be many bumps in the Aviva, but if there is a bump or a mistake, there doesn't seem to be a wild lot of intensity on the press from teams early on. I don't know if that's fitness, the way the managers want them to play, but there's no doubt about it. The pitches, especially the heavy pitches traditionally, the likes of the Showgrounds, the likes of Waterford wouldn't be too bad. Drogheda can be heavy at this time of year. They will play a part, but you have to adapt, because, and me and Vinny have had this debate about, no, if the manager's got a philosophy, he's got to play the same way. I believe that you've got to play the opposition team, but also the conditions. So the fact that Joey's even thinking about tells you that he's got that in mind already.
Like when you were both playing, how long did it take you to feel like, surely the first couple of games you were feeling a bit gassed by 70th, 75th minutes. Like, did it take a couple of games before you started to feel okay?
Yeah, I would have felt it anyway. And it depended how many preseason friendlies. I mean, I look at the teams at the minute and they're having 3 and 4 preseason friendlies, and some of the players are getting 45 minutes in these games. Some of them are getting half an hour. Some of them are getting the full game. It doesn't feel enough to be going. I didn't feel right until maybe 8 or 9 games in. Now, at Derry, we always played about 7. I always think of the average about 7 preseason games. So you were nearly there. But these players, and again, you got to remember, from me and Vinny's time, the game has evolved so much. So this could be completely just the evolution of strength and conditioning, all nutrition, all this. But I never felt good until maybe game 8 or 9. It did take me a game or two.
Was it game 15 for you, Vinny, was it?
I never felt good. I blew a gasket after 35 minutes.
Oran Casey, was Oran Casey on your radar at all, Gareth, before that big move to Shells?
There's something about Cliftonville producing centre halves. They've got 2 more centre halves, young 16 and 17 year old. I don't know whether it's a manager being a defender, but they're producing loads. But yeah, it was on the radar. People were talking about him. Last year was kind of his first real Cliftonville appearances back to back. But once he made 3 or 4, people just started talking. But I honestly didn't think he was going to go for 120k to Shelburne. I knew he looked good, but it felt like he had lots to prove. But going by the highlights and what you guys were showing, he did all right in his first match.
He was just, I thought he stepped in there just like, it was like he was playing with Shells for a few years, Vinny.
Yeah, I think the money spoke there. Shells reinvested some of the money. I know for a fact I was asked by 2 other Premier Division managers about him because I'd seen him a couple of times. I really rated him. The big challenge with giving anyone a recommendation on a player from that league is it's a good league. It's a really good league. We look down on ours at us sometimes, but the really good league is they're different leagues and the styles of play are slightly different. He's someone who we've seen a couple of good challenges the other day, meaty challenges, Steve, if you remember, and you're like, oh, he's on the edge a little bit, but no, he. That's something you'll have to be careful of. The refs down here are a lot stricter than they are up the north. He seems to have it all. Whether that's carries himself through a whole season, we're going to find out. But, his passing range is decent. His recovery runs were decent. He's decent in the air. Had a really, really good night. So I don't remember making a mistake all night. And, I mean, that's the best compliment you give him on his sort of debut. Really unlucky. I thought he could have scored a header at one stage. So everything went his way. He was very, very good. And as I said, a couple of other Premier Division managers are probably disappointed he never got the hands on him. So I presume the deal was done for a couple of reasons. And one being Shell splashing the cash on him.
Scoring was an issue, just to finish on this one, Vinny, 4 Shells the other night. Like, I asked Joey kind of in a roundabout way, would he be ruthless with his team selection this weekend? Like, he's got a couple of other strikers there. We saw Freitas coming off the bench. Do you think somebody could pay the price for, you know, their lack of scoring or, you know, cutting edge maybe on Friday in that first half when they should have really, you know, made it 2-0 at least in that first half?
The only defence you can give Meepo is he didn't miss a lot of chances, Steve-O. Like, he had one chance where he took it in on the edge of the box and he could probably do a bit more. What I like about John Martin, for argument's sake, is if you look back at last year, he's very streaky centre-forward, so he scores regularly in a run of games. So it depends on the manager. Does he start with the 2 of them again? Or, as I said, does he bring, a Jarvis into the little pocket so he's got that box in midfield? Or does Jarvis start out in the wide area? Is Jarvis a wing back? Oh, I'm not so sure. So therefore, he'll have to play in one of those narrow positions. Or has Joey been working on something different over the week? So, I think Meepo's got to look at that game. and he's got to look at a couple of the... Shells had a huge amount of crosses, and to be fair, not all of them were with quality, but he's got to work on his movement in the box across the front post, and not always across the front post. Sometimes you've got to make a run to the front post and then check back the other side. That's a big area of improvement for him, I think, is the movement in the box. And there's a huge amount of learnings for him, particularly as a young player. So I presume the analysts and the staff there have gone through the game with him, but he's got to look at his own clips because he is a handful. But the amount of times Shells got into the sort of that crossing zone and didn't pick out Meepo is not good. They've got to improve on that. So that's my biggest concern. And as I said to you the night on commentary, huge amount of set pieces, corners, and never really looked a threat. Yeah. Outside of Paddy Barrett, you're probably a little bit short.
Okay, well, you can listen to all the live action from Tolga Park this Friday night on Off the Ball, which is on News Talk on the FM, or else Go Loud, the Go Loud app. Richie Tell will be alongside Jonathan Higgins for that game from 7. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. Derry City in their second...
Before we go, I think it's worth pointing out, John Daly made a triple change after 53 minutes before we come waiting that much. And Garrett was talking about intensity and impressing people. Glenfield came on,
yeah,
and the first 30 seconds, Joey, in his interview with you, said we didn't clear the ball properly and we never got out on one side and then made a bad challenge on the other side. That's because of pressure. Benfield came on and he lifted the intensity, the whole Waterford team. They strangled them down in the right back or left back position. Shells went out to the other side and I think it was Mbang gave away a silly free. Brilliant cross. Yeah. But it's worth pointing out, when a manager does brilliantly like Daly with that reaction, pointed out, like, he's done really well.
That certainly turned the game. And do you know what we should point out as well? Because I asked somebody in the League of Ireland department at the FAI about Lucas Keating, the referee on the night, and we both said during our commentary he was really excellent. And you know, there'll be weekends we have to criticise referees or say, you know, point out a mistake, but I thought Lucas Keating, his first ever Premier Division game, he did really, really well. So fair play to him and look forward to see how he progresses throughout the season. So Dundalk away to Derry City, their first match of the season. It wasn't bad enough trying to play Shamrock Rovers, your first match of the season, newly promoted and all that. But looking at Derry first, Gareth, James McLean, centre midfield, you know, this is the first competitive match. He's like, does he have what it takes to be a central midfielder for the full season?
Well, we're definitely not find out after one match, for that's for sure. Different match than the Shamrock Rovers President's Cup. Completely different game. Very slow. And I don't think, I know James has been getting a lot of the headlines, and this is going to happen throughout the season. I think, James is getting used to his rounds. If you take, and Vinny will tell you this, if you take any winger, now you've got to remember, James McLean is an out-and-out winger. Left wing back, left midfield, or even left of a front of a three, and put them in the middle of the field, it's a completely different skill set that you need. It's almost easier to go from a centre midfielder and play out wide because you can kind of get away with it a wee bit. You can't get away with it in the middle of the park. There's no hiding place. The ball always seems to be in and around your area. Now, the big thing that didn't sit well with me, and James suffered because of this as well, is intensity and tempo. On Friday night, Derry City had a full house. You couldn't get a ticket anywhere in the city. The appetite, the expectation with James and Paddy all back, all the signings, James Clark, Thomas, it was unbelievable. Derry, for the first 10 minutes, looked as if they were playing a pre-season friendly. It was unbelievable. I could not believe it. Sligo were there for the taking. They had Blaney, they had McHugh, weren't playing. So they had young Gareth McElroy in centre midfield. They played 4 attacking players. And all Derry had to do was the first 10 minutes is go and put pressure on them and force them into a mistake. For the first 10 minutes, the keeper sergeant was knocking at the 2 centre halves, knocking it back. It was as easy as inning. They were pinging balls. Derry weren't putting any pressure on them. They weren't pushing up and putting pressure on them. So that was the start of the game. That went on for about an hour. And then Derry then, after the goal, and I have to say, Sligo were very good for that hour. Now, Derry were excellent after that, and the 2 goals were exceptional. But James suffered because of that, Steve-O.
Can I ask you a question, Gareth, on James? And we don't need to make every week about James. Like, let him, to be fair, give the lad a bit of breathing space. That's what I think, right? And some of the commentary around him is nonsense at the moment already. But, like, would you put me in the head of Duffy or Fleming?
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. So that's the bit people have missed, isn't it?
So it's funny, Derry City have so many left-footed players. The two centre halves are left-footed. They've got, for left wing, they've got Fleming. James can play there. Ben Doherty, who was the best player Derry had 3 years ago. It was unbelievable. Then you've got Duffy, who can play in the left. I think that that's where he's going to play. Honestly, centre midfield. There might be a wee bit of adaption. Like in the second half, they drop Duffy back and give him a free role and put James left of a three in midfield. So they almost played 4-3-3. But give Duffy a completely free role, kind of like he did last year, and Derry were much better. Sligo couldn't get the ball and actually didn't know what to do. They couldn't pick Duffy up. It was actually too deep for me, but it was just like, it was almost like Tiernan said, listen, we've got to get back into it. We've got to control this game and get a stranglehold of it. Just go and get us playing, and then we'll worry about getting goals maybe in the last 20, 25 minutes. And that's what they did. But the two goals were exceptional. But loads of positives. James is just going to have to suffer. The pitch didn't help him. The way Derry played didn't help him. The slow kind of trying to play through midfield. Derry need to play. Tiernan said it in pre-season during his interviews. He has never had a team that had the running ability, the athletic, the power. And he didn't use that ability in the team on Friday night. They were so passive and slow. And they tried to play like, I don't know, like Barcelona stuff. Instead of having a high tempo, getting the crowd behind you and scoring an early goal, even if they had us conceded, they went hell for leather in the first 15 minutes conceded, they still got 75 minutes to get back into the game.
Especially when you have Josh Thomas up front as well. Gareth, just on that point then, Vinny, is this something Kieran Kilduff is looking at this weekend and going up there kind of thinking, you know, if we can get off to a fast, quick start and, you know, be really up for this game, and just try and keep Derry on the back foot for the first 10, 15 minutes and try and get a goal early?
Yeah, I think, look, it's no different than any away game. I think keeping the Brandywell crowd quiet for the first 15, 20 minutes is a challenge in itself. I mean, look, the strongest point of Derry for me is Thomas and the three behind them. I think they're exceptional. The two sitters in midfield, whether that's McLean and another, are very, very good. And obviously Fleming is excellent. But the point I'm making is their front four, when they're on form, are really good. So they've got to guard against that. But I also think if Derry have one weakness, it may be around sort of their back four, in behind them a little bit, big pitch. So Dundalk have to play on the edge there a little bit. And you know, I think Horgan against Bannon could be a really interesting battle. Out there getting the ball to Horgan in that wide space, can he get at him? That's going to be the challenge. So
yeah, because is Bannon lacking a little bit of pace or something? Is that what you're kind of thinking?
I think so. Gareth has seen live more than I've seen him live, but that would be the one area I'd be concerned about. And then obviously McLean at back four is not the quickest on it. There is a big pitch. It really is. So you can exploit teams in behind there at times.
Hey, Dervin.
Yeah, thanks. Sligo tried that. They really focused on Bannon's side, but also Patrick McLean, being a left footer, playing on that side of the defence as well. They got a lot of joy. If you look at the goal as well, it came from that left hand side, cross into the box, cleared everyone, cross again from the right, and Hakiki taps it in. Bannon scored a wonderful goal. He's definitely more aggressive going forward. Sometimes forgets about his duties back. But it's no secret. I think Derry are looking for a right-sided centre-half or a right-back at the moment. Maybe Dundalk. But there was a lot. James Clark, Steve, well, I have to say. I mean, obviously I see him playing for Bows and maybe four or five times a season. But seeing him now in pre-season in the match at the other night, what a talent carrying the ball physically. He's going to be a real, real, real threat. He's going to be a great addition to Derry. I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
Apologies, a little gremlin getting into our...
Don't cry, Steve, don't cry.
James who? I'm vegetarian, Vinny. No, I'm not really. But look, moving on to Drogheda against Waterford. And a bit like Derry City, I suppose, Drogheda United are going to be coming into this game like buoyed by the manner in which they won the game last week, that last minute winner at Galway United. And, you know, Kevin Doherty is so good at getting his teams up for these kind of games. I'm just interested, though, on his handling of maybe a particular player? Like, we're looking at, and we were kind of talking about this particular game and what we discussed, but Ryan Brennan, he's been an absolute brilliant leader for Drogheda United over the last couple of seasons. He came on as a sub off the bench, provides the assists. Like, is he at the stage of his career now where he's not going to be a regular starter, Vinny, do you think? And like, is that something Kevin Doherty's going to manage, or was he maybe just short of a bit of fitness on last Friday night and that's why he was on the bench?
No, I'd say,
I know we're kind of speculating a bit here, but
yeah, I'd say Ryan will probably play, start more games than he comes off the bench throughout the season, depending on form, obviously. So he still gets around the pitch. I think United Park, particularly in the home games, will definitely suit him. A little bit of feel, some pitches feel smaller than others and that aren't necessarily, like Richmond, United Park, Waterford, they always feel a little bit tighter as a player and it feels easier to get around the park. Doesn't mean they're actually smaller, but it feels that way. So I think United Park will definitely suit them. So look, Ryan done brilliant for them last year. I expect them to play more games than not. So we don't know why he didn't start first game of the season between different things, but the thing about Drogheda is it's built on experience, it's built on cleverness, it's really clever what they do, and it's not over technical. Like you see the goal they scored. So if you miss the first weekend of the season, you know, people said Drogheda went to 1-1-0 down a goal. We described the goal. Most people would probably describe the goal. A second phase off a set piece comes to the edge of the box and it's a great finish. So. And he can score good goals as well, don't get me wrong. So now I expect him to play.
Yeah, such a brilliant player, and the whole FAI Cup win was especially special for him. Drogheda United though as well, we know Gareth, very, very good defence. That's kind of what their success has been built on, the foundation of their success over the last couple of years with Kevin Doherty. And like myself and Vinny would have seen on Friday, the deliveries from Conan Noonan for Waterford in set pieces were absolutely on the money. I think he delivered one poor one towards the end of the match, but every single one he put in there was absolutely brilliant. So that's going to be something Drogheda United will have to be wary of going into this game on Friday night.
Yeah, 100%. But again, if you were to worry about Drogheda on a lot of things, it wouldn't be the aerial threat of when you've got likes of Keeley there. But I mean, they're always, I just always think that they're so strong in both boxes that it's nothing that you have to worry about. Now, when you've got someone that can deliver the ball like that, he's always going to cause you problems because you don't actually get to see the flight of the ball because it's moving that quick. You can't move your feet because by the time it's on you, it's either in between you or it's on your head. So they're going to have to deal with it. By all accounts now, and I saw the highlights, Galway were quite good in the game. Probably looking at the XG as well, it's way higher than I thought it was going to be. And it looked like Galway physically out-muscled Drogheda. So it'll be interesting to see how Drogheda responds to that, because it's going to be a different type of game this weekend than it was last weekend. But again, these games, Drogheda, Waterford, Sligo, Galway, they're going to be big games for all those teams to try and either pull out of that group or keep yourself above the relegation and playoff spots.
Yeah, Vinny, I'd imagine maybe Sam Glenfield, we mentioned him earlier. I thought he was really good last season, and any time I saw him, he might have done enough maybe to get a start for this weekend's game. What do you think? Can you see John Daly making many changes to that team, or will he kind of put it down to maybe look just ring rust at the start of the season? We'll let the lads off that first 45 go with the same team.
Yeah, it depends on. I think what he might do is, it was at times a bit of a 4-4-2, wasn't it, with Nolan or with the front two, Almond
and Lonergan,
Yeah, Lonergan. Its decision is, does he stick with that? I think Nolan done really well for them. I tell you what Waterford have gone for them. Glenfield, I think, adds something to it. But they've, like, you think, great example, John Mann looks a hell of a lot fitter than he did last year. The tight pitch of Waterford, he headed everything away, got lots of blocks, chuck body on the line. They've got something they didn't have last year. They've got League of Ireland experience. They haven't signed 4, 5, 6 players from England. And there's nothing wrong with that if they're all very good. They've signed some brilliant players in Waterford from England over the last couple of years. But they've got a bit of know-how. they've got people who will go up to, whether it's up to United Park over the years or whether it's up to the Showgrounds, wherever it is this season, and they'll know how to get result there. I think Waterford would be okay. I like the look, albeit we didn't play well for 50-odd minutes and had a five-minute spell and then were just okay in the game. I think they've a lot of people with good experience know how to do it. Heaney done well for them as well. As I said, John Mann was excellent. They've a lot to like about
and,
them.
And John Daly mentioned Hayden Khan as well, who you know pretty well, Gareth. Yeah. Like that was their issue last season. Well, it was at the back, and they've got in John Mann and Hayden Khan two experienced operators there, Gareth, that could be big for them this season.
Yeah, 100%. Khan is still very, very young. I think he was 19 when he came to Derry. Big, big physical guy, and he did nothing wrong when he was called upon at Derry City. And he actually forced his way into the starting 11 and played, I think, six or seven games in a row. He was very, very good. Still learning his trade, of course. But when you bring somebody like that has experience and has played almost a full season, they know what they're getting they're getting up to. And then Mahan is right. I mean, Mahan last year just looked off it so much. It looked as if he had so many yellow cards, so many red cards. It just wasn't going well with him. But he seems to have got his head right this season. But the two of them they'll make Waterford much stronger.
Yeah, it could be a really good partnership and interesting to watch. It'll be interesting to see how Luke Heaney gets on at his old club as well this Friday night. St. Pat's against Galway United down at Inchicore. Vinny, and I don't know what to make of St. Pat's from Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, I should say. You know, it's hard to know what to make from either side from that game on Sunday at the Aviva Stadium. What did you think of St. Pat's? And do you know what, actually, how much of an impact is this Romel Palmer injury going to have on what Stephen Kenny was planning for this season?
I don't think we learned lots about either team on Sunday. I mean, I watched the game back. I had to watch it sort of after I knew the result, and there was very, very little in the game. It wasn't a good game. We haven't learned loads about both teams. You'd have a little bit of concern about both of them in terms of creating chances and different bits and pieces, but we're going to have to wait and see. I think this weekend is a big weekend for Pats, and people go, that's ridiculous, two games into the season, but it feels like they need a win, not for Stephen's job or reputation, any of that nonsense. Just feels like the confidence that group needs is a couple of wins and not getting a positive. And even a draw against Galway will feel like a defeat for Pats this week, rightly or wrongly. And it actually feels like it's a huge game for them. And Gareth will tell you, when you're in a dressing room, when there's a bit of noise around your team and they're playing on this thing, everybody's written us off and all of that stuff. But sometimes the only way, you always have that little doubt in your mind about the games he lost last year. I feel it's really important that they get a win this week. I genuinely do.
Yeah, I think they are going to get it up the teeth, Galway. They were so physical against Drogheda. The boy Williams at the back as well in both boxes. He's going to get on the end of throw-ins, corners. I think Pats are going to, you're going to find out. I said that last year I thought they were completely imbalanced, and imbalanced in the fact that they didn't have enough leaders, gritty people. They stand up to teams like Drogheda and Galway. They're going to find out all about it this weekend. This is going to be a tough, tough game. And Galway just aren't going to let Pats play, especially the way Bowes allowed them to play at times. Levy was absolutely outstanding. Is he going to get that sort of room, that sort of freedom against somebody like Galway? And then the defence, what are Galway not going to throw at them when it comes to corners and throw-ins and free kicks?
Well, Gareth, like, if you were John Caulfield looking at that match on Sunday, what kind of way would you be thinking, this is how I'm going to put my team out on Friday?
I think John Caulfield will just do the same against as he did against Drogheda. I think he'll see, listen, he's going to have them unbelievably organised, well drilled, and they're going to know exactly what to do when they're in certain situations. I thought last year, and they were a bit unfair to Galway, and the way they were able to manipulate the ball, I'm talking about in the middle of the park, Hurley especially, when he gets the ball, he is so quick and tidy and technically good. He's very good at getting into areas to then, at that time, it was playing off Hickey and getting balls into the box. I think Galway are kind of, yes, everyone's kind of writing them off, but they're really, really good at certain aspects of the game. And John Caulfield is really, really good at getting them into those certain situations in the pitch and then getting goals off it. I mean, having Walsh and Lombardo up front as well, if he goes with two up front again, that will cause real problems.
But do you see me point, Gareth, about being a big game nearly for both of them? From a, like, you've been in dressing rooms where it's only two games in and people will think we're talking nonsense, like, but it's so important to get that first win under your belt, isn't it? Because the longer it drags on, it just plays on your mind. It's so hard to explain what goes on in those 6 inches between your ears, but it feels like both of them could do with a little three-pointer. Galway got a point to be a good result.
Unbelievable. And I think, let's be honest, there's more pressure on Stephen Kenny than there is John Caulfield. If John Caulfield goes up there and get beat 2-0, he at the beginning of the year will be saying that's a free shot. But I think for Pats especially, I think it's a real test of character for the squad and the players individually, because that's what was lacking last year. Stephen obviously have got rid of a load of players, brought a load of players in. I would imagine Nugent will start. I think it's going to be a big, big test for them, and we'll see. I think this will determine how Pats go on throughout the year and where they're going to finish, and are they going to challenge, are they going to sit mid-table, or are they going to compete for European spots?
Yeah, you got to feel for Kenny a bit though as well. Like, he really has been cursed with injuries, and
I know Zach. I was going to say with bad jumpers.
Listen, you heard, you want to be go on.
What was the injury to Palmer? How long is he going to be out? Or
it was something to do with the hamstring that he had the operation on last year, and Kenny was asked, could it need more surgery, and he said he didn't rule it out, basically. So you're kind of thinking that's the kind of player he was kind of wanting to build a team around. And anyway, listen, hopefully it's not too serious. I do want to get onto our Ask the Expert slot. So a quick look at Saturday's game. We'll look more at Bowes and Sligo maybe off the back of this match. But do you think, has Alan Reynolds learned from the game on Sunday, Vinny? You got to start with a centre forward sometimes, especially when you look at those two chances that fell to the winger, Colin Parsons.
Yeah, I think so. But to be fair to him, he's obviously got a couple of injuries in that position, and he's a young boy. Maybe he could have thrown in hindsight, whatever. But look, they're fine margins, those decisions, aren't they, in terms of Parsons slots one away. You're not talking about that. So it's early season. I don't know why, but I would have got a sense that he would have been the happier coming out of the game. Even though it was a home game for Bowes, I think he'd be happier in terms of what his team is doing or capable of doing than what Stephen probably was, you know, that way. That's my sense, just as a neutral. So, look, it's a little bit like the Derry situation. There is an argument, just have your best players on the pitch, you know, whatever it takes within reason. So, I've been saying it last year, and I got a bit of stick for it. I feel Bowes' biggest problem, yes, centre-half has been a problem for them around the back four, but they need to find a man who's going to get at least 10, 12, 15 goals. And we all think, they've signed a player from Drogheda to do that, but I've not seen the goals yet. I want to see them, you know?
Yeah.
I tell you what, though,
he did bring up banging a few while he was carrying a knock, so I think we need to...
We
need to see DJT getting fit.
How many goals did he score?
It was 5-8. And an assist.
He scored 5 goals.
Yeah.
And many of these scored the whole season.
In 8 appearances for Bowes.
Anyway. No, but many of these scored the whole season last year. He didn't break 10, did he not?
No. But you're like, he was injured for most of the season.
So I'm not saying he won't score. I just think he has to score more than 10. Okay. That's all. If Bowes are going to achieve something and qualify for Europe again without relying on the cup, he has to go between minimum 10 to 15. Is he good enough to do it? Absolutely is. But you can't keep like having players injured all the time. You can't keep not taking chances and saying it's bad luck. You can't, you know, it's bad luck for a week or two, not for over a season, not for over 18 months. So,
yeah.
I hope he breaks 20 goals. Genuinely, I like him. I like what he has. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah. Quickly, Gareth. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, Steve-O, I thought Patrick Hickey was unbelievable. I know Vinny mentioned the defensive frailties of Bowes. He was exceptional on the day. Really impressed with him.
Yeah, Sligo Rovers, though, like, they do have the attacking threats up front to put the likes of Hickey and the likes of Sam Todd and that under a bit of pressure this Saturday, don't they, Gareth?
Yeah, I tell you who was good. O'Kane and Nolan were good, very good against Derry, especially for the first hour. Fitzgerald was excellent as well going forward. He had to move on the left back. O'Kane got injured. Don't know how he's going to be for this weekend. And then young Patton up front as well was a bit of a threat. I just think Sligo, and it proves at the time that Bowes recently in the last couple of years beat them 3-0 in the showgrounds. It was three set pieces. So I think trying to keep Hickey and Sam Todd and the big boys that they've signed quiet will be Sligo's biggest problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that one on Saturday night. Do, of course, not forget to tune in to LOI Late Night. That's on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, with Ben Symes and Shane Keegan this Friday night. That'll be on air on Twitter or X after the games are finished on Friday night. So usually around 10 o'clock. Finney, you were on last week, giving some really good contributions to the lads. So do jump on there if you want to talk about your club, or if you just want to have a listen, that's okay as well. We'll finish up with our new slot, Ask the Expert. So I'm glad to say we got two emails in from two of our listeners, and thank you very much for your contributions, folks. So Conal Meegan first wants to ask, what do the lads think of some games being played on Sundays, in brackets, or even Saturdays? If nothing else, I was happy to be able to watch Pat's Bowes the other day. There's many games I simply won't see this season because they're on a Friday evening when I'm already at a game. Seems a waste to me to have these Saturday-Sunday games so rarely, other than Sligo and Longford Town mostly doing it for their games. Would they be in favour of we'll say a regular 2 p.m. Sunday match? And he says, tell Vinny, mon the town. So obviously a Lily White's man there. What do you think, lads? Having one game maybe on a Saturday or a Sunday over the weekends? Regular?
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. One, now I don't want it to be stretched out and three or four. I'm still a big believer in the Friday night. That's all right for League of Ireland to go into the matches. One game's fine. Yeah, I'd be up for it. Listen, the more games we see, the better. Yeah. I enjoyed the game on Sunday, yeah.
What do you reckon, Vinny? All five on a Friday, yeah, or would you be?
I think Friday creates an atmosphere because it's, I know the summer football, but generally the evening time, the lights coming on. I know we have a period of time where it's not, but by and large, I prefer Friday for the size of the crowds we get. But I'm a bit of an anorak at times. I miss the old Gabriel Egan telling us the scores on a Sunday afternoon. I'd love a few Sunday 2 o'clock games. I used to go down to Harold's Cross, watch Brian Kerr's teams, and you'd be listening to Gabriel Egan, you'd hear him in the background or whatever. So I'd love a bit more of that.
The glory days, Vinny, the glory days. Shane Kennedy got in touch with us as well, and he's saying to us, is there a fear that he becomes stale with so many teams playing five at the back? Big reason why strikers only get a maximum 15 goals, he asks. The great Jason Byrne needed more than one chance so he'd struggle in 2026, in my opinion. Yeah, it's an interesting thought, that.
That's a brilliant point, actually, yeah. Steve-O. Yeah. Brilliant point. I think it's a challenge around football at the moment. Not to come away from League of Ireland, but Ocarez played against Chelsea, and I remember over the first half he touched the ball twice for Arsenal. It's so hard for centre forwards if managers and people are going to play this way. Not a lot of balls into forwards. The same, the switch to three at the back, not in favour of it, but it's about personal opinion. For me, I think you can get a three at the back. I understand why Rovers do it, because they've got all the best players for the last 6 years, give or take. But the others, I think there's better ways of using your squad. That's just my view, and I wouldn't be mad in favour of it.
Yeah, sorry, G-Mac, we're short on time, so just briefly, yeah, give us your thoughts.
I love the question, and Douglas Taylor's a perfect example. Look at his goals. They scored the five goals, yeah, all from outside the box. What, didn't get any chances inside the box. No wingers delivering crosses. Love it. Let's get more attacking football.
Absolutely. Love the emails as well, folks. Shane and Conal, thanks very much for those. If you want to send in a question for our experts, ask the experts. It's theloipod@offtheball.com. Theloipod@offtheball.com. And we'll look at those next week. So thank you very much, listener, for joining us this week. We'll be back with you next week. Shelburne versus Shamrock Rovers this Friday on Off the Ball, on News Talk on the FM, and also on the Go Loud app, and LOI Late Night on X from 10 o'clock this Friday night. Thanks very much, lads. Until next week, Slán.
Cheers, yeah, folks.
The LOI Pod. on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.